Okay, today we're going to, one way or another, we're going to finish up the halachic of Chatzitza. We have to get it behind us. But I think we're up to approximately number 12. I think we'll stop in 12. 9, 10, and 11 are pretty simple. 11, I don't know if you're aware of, about bath oils. Bath oil that a person mixes into water of a bath sticks to the body. And it's a Chatzitza Shaila. It's really a Chatzitza B'kol Gufa. So a woman should not use bath oil in the pre-mikvah bath. Now let me introduce you to the concept of the paints and the inks and the dyes. This shiloh, which comes up in many different forms. Very often medication, that you put like iodine or whatever they use today, leaves a stain. There are cases of shilohs. I heard recently one shiloh with a woman who was nursing. And while she was nursing, had a mouth sores and needed medication on the mouth sores, which caused her to have discolorations at the nipples as a result of the child's nursing with the mouth. So this is Shiloh as far as the din of inks, paints, dyes, etc. Now, in the Beis Yosef, it talks about, it brings the Chuvah Sarajba. Chuvah Sarajba is about a man who works with ink, works with dye, works with paint. And his hands are all marked up, are all painted. So the Rashba writes in the Beis Yosef brings that you could be makel for two reasons. One reason is because ain't no makpid. The guy's a professional painter. He's not ashamed to go around with paint on his hands. It's not true today. But it was true then that such a person was ain't no makpid, or a printer who always has ink on his hands. So they're not makpid, they go around that way. So that's a business advertisement, right? He's got ink on his hands. So that was called Einan Makbid. And reason number two, the Rashba says, is because Einbay Mamish. Because you do rinse off your hand, you try to get off some of the ink and the paint. What's left is a stain, Einbay Mamish. There's no actual substance to the stain. It's whatever's there, it doesn't have chashivas to be a chassid. So the million-dollar question on this Rashba is, he gives two reasons. Do you need both reasons to be makel? Or could you be medical with one reason without the other? In other words, let's say it's makbid the aim by mamish. Is the Rashba telling us there's two reasons, and either reason is good? Or is he giving us two reasons that he wants us to use together? For example, what happens if it's aim by mamish or makpedless? Okay, well, let's say you have an example of aim by mamish or makpedless is pistachio, red pistachio nuts. I don't know whether they still have kosher ones. But the red pistachio nuts that stain your hand, that's aimed by mamish. Well, even ink really is aimed by mamish if you wash it off. And but it's makpid. Yes, a person would be makpid. Now you have to remember, makpid does not mean you could have a printer who all day is not makpid if his hands are stained. But still, if he would go to visit someone, if he go for a social visit, he'd wash it off. That's called makpid. Because makpid is, even if a person's only makpid sometimes, it's also called makpid or makpid. So the question is, a person who has like rashi nut stains or even ink stains on their hand, where it's aimed by mamish, you rinse it off and left with a slight stain, is that called a chatzitza or not? It's makpedes and it's aimed by mamish. You could have the reverse. A case of eina makpedes v'yeshba mamish. In a case of eina makpedes v'yeshba mamish would be lipstick. A woman has lipstick or bath oil, which is yeshba mamish. They're in a makpedes.
So,
it's kogufa, but still, if there's a het, you mean if a red kogufa for in a makpedes is not a hetem? Yeah, you're right. Okay, but lipstick would be a better example. Then that it's yesh by mamish, but it's in a makpedes. But it's yesh by mamish, but it's in a makpedes. She likes it the way it is. So, lemaisa, this is a big discussion in the Achrayim. The Paiskim, all the Achrayim, the Paiskim Achrayim, including the Chachmas Adam and the Archa Shulchan, and all the Haintik of Paiskim, I think all agree that we rely on the second reason primarily. In other words, on Ein by Mamish, that we rely on as a heter. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah Paskins this way in Hukas Netilas Yadayim in Siman Kuf Samach Aleph, that if you're going to wash hands for Netilas Yadayim, you have ink stains on your hand, you take a little soap, you rinse it off to make sure it's Ein by Mamish. And then you could wash, then it's not a chatzitza. And that's the way we pass in Lagabi Hilchus and Tchila also. The women are naive to try to get every stain off. You try to take a stain off. But if the stain remains, then it's, and it's aimed by mamish, it's a very thin layer of ink that's like when you wash, you're left with a mark. So that amount is stained by mamish, and it's not a chaitis to the eved. This is true for ink, this is true for iodine, this is true for pistachio nut stains, it's true for really any stain that you can think of.
Tattoos.
Stained by mamish. Tattoos are part of the guf, they're under the skin. So tattoos are not a chaitis. But if you get these little tattoos you get in the cereal boxes, right, and they put them on, yeah, that'll be the same thing. Okay, anything that you rinse and you're left with a lighter stain, that's aimed by mamish. I'm not sure how much is aimed by mamish. Our ink today is a very thin layer, even if you write on your hand. But Lamaisa taught to say what's called aimed by mamish. Clearly, when you wash yourself and then there's a little mark left, a fainter mark, but when you write, that clearly is called aimed by mamish.
If you can feel some soap, in fact, I've got an oil paint that nips on your hand.
An oil paint is aimed by mamish, there's no question, yeah.
What about blood feathers?
So Makpedas doesn't matter if it's aimed by mamish, it's, there's no chatzitza. But the answer is that the kasha is the Rashba, the case of Shulchan Aruch, is a tzeveya shim, like tzeva agufay. A guy who's a professional printer or painter and does his makpedas, so why does Shulchan Aruch pick this case? If it's true about anybody that has stains shamed by mamish? And the answer is you have to know the style of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, the original tshuva was, the Rashba was a case, it was a tzeveya, it was a painter. And the style of the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch is to be faithful to the sources. To be very faithful, that's one of the godless of the Shulchan Aruch, is to be faithful to the sources, leave room for the Achlamim to make the Yukim. And since the original source was a Rashba, it talks about a painter, so that's why it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. You have to know that about Shulchan Aruch. Very often, you can learn a siman in Shulchan Aruch and think, you know, if they would give it to you, you would be set it up much more clearly, right? You set up four rules and six rules. But it's not. The Beis Yosef was very faithful to the sources so that Achrayim can make the Yukim. And that's the way he set up the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam did the same thing when he quotes Gemaris. He tries to stick to the cases in the Gemaris. And the Beis Yosef, so the Maisa, the Achrayim hold that aim by man, which is enough, a woman comes back from a mikvah and finds a stain. It's a stain after a bath. It's a faint stain. It's called aim by mamish and it's not a chatzitza problem. Okay. Alright, that's what you have here in 12. Right? Inks, paints, and dyes on the skin, they should be removed. But the stain which remains after washing is not a chatzitza because it lacks substance. That's English for aim by mamish. The same is true for stains caused by medicines like such as iodine, blahasi, or food coloring such as red pistachio nuts. I'm not sure why. Kashrut flies. White pistachio nuts is not a problem. It happens to be in Shabbat with a hechsher, but today in the United States there are no non-kosher white pistachio nuts. Any made in the United States ones are really kosher. But the red ones have a kosher problem.
What would be
the shiloh? What could be a shiloh of pistachio nuts, right?
That's right.
When they get the salt, how do they get the salt in the crack? You need to have little ladies there putting the salt in the crack. They make a mist out of the salt when they spray it. And I don't know why. In Israel, when you get pistachio nuts, the salt is on the shell also. Here it's not on the shell. I'm not sure why. But the oils that they use to make the mist could be a kashrus problem. It happens to be today. It's not. Not a problem. You never believe what's in food. I once spoke to somebody. He told me, you know how they make root beer get such a head? They put in soap. They put in real soap, tasteless soap. And then they have a de-soaper every time they make root beer. Every batch, it's very hard to figure because soap lathers up quickly. So they take a test bit, and if it has too much lather, then they put in a desoaper. And the soapers and the desoapers, that's the soaper problem, I think, is not a extra problem. The desoaper, I think you mentioned to me, was something you have to be looking for. Glycerin comes from crude oil, really? Okay. You never know where things are. Crude oil is kosher, though.
The red nuts are what? The crude oil?
The red, I'm not sure where the problem is. I just know that the kosher organizations all are saying that the white is not a problem, the red is a problem. I think I once knew why, but I'm not sure. It could be have to do with the dye. Kosher soap? Well, I'm not sure. Soap could be a kosher problem, but I think I was told that the soap was a problem. I don't know. Okay, 13, makeup. Makeup is really a serious shaila. Makeup of all types should be removed. As I state in Shach. Why do you have to take off makeup? Miuta, Shaina Makpeder. She wants the makeup. All right, so l'chatchila, we take off every chatzitza. Why is it so important? So regarding b'dieved, a woman comes home, she starts her makeup on, There are a number of variables which affect halacha. You have to ask a shayla. Well, what does it mean? That's the way it's like this. The makeup, the way it's brought down in Paiskim, the main problem, and here I have a Talir Vayra, these are the countries, the pamphlet put out, Talir of Michael, when he was alive, by MTJ, used to put out this pamphlet. And it always has some sucking for Rav Meisle. And he writes the following. And I think that in the Badia Shulchan he goes with the same mahalach. He writes, it's about all makeup, really. He has an arichas about all makeup. I just pick where he talks about fingernail polish. Okay, why is fingernail polish a chatzitza problem? A woman puts on fingernail polish, so that's the miyuta, and she's not makbet to remove it. She wants it on. She puts it on. So Rav Meisle says the following. Hatzviyashu alatapanayim, the fingernail polish, afal pishu l'nai, even though it's there for beauty, tzrichim hasir al yedei benzin, you have to remove it through, I guess it's nail polish remover, ukadayma, atshalay nishtayra kolum mamashis hatzeva. So there's no mamashis hatzeva, you're bavarning that there'll be a little bit shame by mamash, but there wouldn't be a problem. The lekel amei makal shul l'nai yei nechaitzit, why can't we say that it's there for beauty, it's not a chatzitza? We can't say that it looks like nifgam kolum in hatzeva. That's only when it's a fresh coating. When it gets a little crack at the edge, at the edges, or it gets a little faint, okay, Ramesha says, you have to remember, makbid means there are times that she would be makbid. So let's say she would go to an affair, she wouldn't go with an old layer of polish, she would go with a fresh layer. So being that it's shriach for all makeup, it gets worn out, or it's not a fresh look, so that, Ramesha says, could be a chatzitza problem. And Rav Meisle adds, "Afilah havelana, even if it's a fresh thing, which is lanai, kvar naya des nashim sheinam tayvlas nechur desvarim sheinam chaytetzin kirama." I mentioned to you that lachatchila we remove even miyuta sheinam atim. So Rav Meisle adds that. Now my ha'ara on this is, I'm not sure that the facts of the women today, that these facts are even true. Because Rav Meisle is assuming that women are just not makbid, and a lot of the place giving them on, that women are just not makbid. You have to remember, makbid means even if they're makbid sometimes. Okay, the tourist case is a woman with a ring on her finger. She never takes it off, except when she works with dough. That's called makbedness. Something she sometimes is makbed to remove. I think today many of the women are makbed to remove makeup. They take it to an affair or something, and then they don't want it on their face. And it's maybe an oily feeling, whatever reason. Women, I think today, are more makbed, maybe I'm wrong, to remove makeup, not to leave makeup on until it just wears away. If that's the case, then this whole havamina that it's not a kapeida really falls away. It's a hard thing to judge exactly how makbid the women are, how less makbid they are. But I think the women today are makbid, at least many of the women.
But is this rule of kosher l'nai a special rule outside of the din of niyat makbid?
No, kosher l'nai is the rule of ena makbid.
Because if it was a separate rule, it would make sense.
No. All right, this is Lamais. Lamais, a woman has to remove the makeup. It's a hard call. I spoke to her five of Cologne, because in his sefer, and Badia Shulchan, he writes like this. And I asked him, the women today, I think I'm acting. But he wouldn't, he said if it's true, I mean, he left himself open to suggestions that the facts are that way. If women are acting sometimes to remove it, it could be, it depends in different circles.
It's
you're right. If it's something where you have different women, it's like, look, if women who would leave it on straight would be considered unusual, then we would say like plug. It has to be either way. Yeah, but the painter, anybody who would be a painter would have left the paint on. See, it's different than the women. Okay. All right, so let's say it depends on a certain woman, that's the way she does it. Nachinami, I think it's more serious with the difference. Okay. Okay, so this is as far as makeup. This is the problem with makeup, yeah? Makeup? So the problem. What do you mean, what's the problem? Oh, she'll be makeup. Okay, fine, that's a problem. Agav, Ramesha writes here about women. This is the comment that women who have to go to the mikveh Friday night, they don't like it because they go without makeup a whole Shabbos. People figure out that they're in the mikveh, that they went to the mikveh. So Ramesha writes, it's not a chasar and tznius. He writes that where people could... to tell people that the person's going to a mikveh, that's chasar and tznius. With circumstantial evidence, people could figure out that someone went to the mikveh. So Rav Meisle says here that that's not a chasar and tznius. It's very negeah. People ask me in the country, where women are in the bungalow colony all week, and the man is in the city, and he'll go up Tuesday night, comes out of mikveh night, so they always have the shayla. If they go up, it's like, come out of chasar and tznius. They come up at 10 o'clock at night. for there at night, 9 o'clock at night. They leave early the next morning. And they feel, you know, it's always suppressed by somebody, always, like everyone's staring at them. So they feel it's nicker. So Ramesha writes this, that where people can figure out by circumstantial evidence that the person went to a mikveh, that's not a slurin. It's nias. Of course, you have to take in the practical thing, whether the woman is comfortable with it. But as far as halach is concerned, that's not a kapeda. Okay, let's go on. Okay, splinter 14, I don't think it's so shtia. If you don't mind, turn to 16. It's scab. Okay, scabs. Scabs on a wound. The minhag, certainly the custom is to soak and remove all the scabs. The diavet, if removing the scab is painful so that one would not want to remove it, then the immersion is valid. Now, I worded it here a little unclear. I wrote that b'diavad, the tefillah is good. Rav Moshe really writes that even l'chatchila, a person who has a scab, if it's painful to remove it, it does not have to remove it. That's called eina makpedes. If she wants it on, because it's, this is also in the Torah of Eirah, and I don't think it's in this Moshe. Moshe writes that pulling off the scab would hurt, or would cause bleeding, fresh scab, that a person does not have to take it off. Says remove it around the edges until where it would hurt. The fact is, most women they bathe and they remove it anyway. So that's only geya. But the diavet, it's good to know that that's not a chatzitza.
The diavet, they can do it if it's
going to
hurt.
The chatzitza, yeah, the way it's written here is not as clear. I understand. Because I don't know if everyone agrees with Ramesha, but I know Ramesha writes it. The chatzitza, you can even leave it the chatzitza. As long as it's going to hurt if it comes off. Not because the hurting makes it a shasal pack, because that's a simon that it's not a. That's chelak agof. It's more than that. A skib is considered, I think. A skib is actually made of pus. You once told me, I think.
No,
what's a skib made of?
Fibrin.
Skin fiber?
Fibrin.
What is that part of it? You would call that part of the skin?
No, that was a clot.
Okay.
Why is that go off before it falls off?
Never mind. That's all saying about that. Well, that would cause it to bleed. I believe, and probably tell me if I'm wrong, if it wouldn't bleed, it'd leave a scar? Was that only because it might bleed?
Then you don't have to.
Okay, hard skin around the wound is not a chatzitza. Moist pus is not a chatzitza, even outside the wound. Dry pus is a chatzitza outside the wound, but not on the wound. It's assumed that on the wound people don't play with. If you have an injury, that people leave it the way it is. If you want to remove it, fine.
Why isn't
pus
the wound? Why isn't pus a chatzitza?
On the wound?
Around the wound.
What?
Around the wound.
It depends on where people remove it. Depends on where, this is an assessment of where people remove it. If you say today it's different, if a woman is different, she's different. The Shulchan Aruch gives these guidelines. It's just not a chatzif, it's just liquid.
Yeah. And dry pus?
Dry pus. If it's in a place where people are makdeh to remove it, it's chatzif. If not, that's the gather.
But on the wound, people don't touch it.
That's what it says. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch.
Do you mean underneath the skin or above the skin? It's dry pus.
Above the skin. If it's under the skin, it's not a dry pus. Okay, acne pimples. Here I have a little thing I'm not sure. All right, let's first read what I have here. Acne pimples which have not yet burst are not a chatzitza. It is not necessary to soak these pimples. Once it began to pus, if a hard skin has formed on it, it must be soaked for 10 minutes in water by applying a wet cotton so that it softens. So these are words of Shulchan Aruch. It's a machaber. Chatotim, the person has pimples. So you have to soak it achi yisrachich until it moistens. And what does that mean? Then I understood when I read the Shulchan Aruch, why are you soaking it for? That you have to take it all. But it seems that that's not what it means. It means you just have to soak the pimples.
If the hard skin.
What?
If the hard skin, if you have to soak them.
If it's, yeah, well, what happens when you soak a pimple? Does it change? Does anything get removed from it? First, I have here Ramesha's lotion by acne. I can read it to you, but basically Ramesha writes, Gerav agufa mashakur in ekni, ukedayma, medayim lo yotza halaycha, but if it didn't start to pus yet, it's nothing, ain't it tzricha. Kalaniftacha ababuais, if you have a pus pimple that's pussing already, kosha tach gimel yamim ene chaitze, it's kedam yavesh, it's considered moist, avol nasa keglida kosha, or tzricha lishroisa b'mayim keeser dakais a yaiser, achi yisrachich. Okay, lamaisa pimple you should soak.
That's what the
now,
what?
It burst already, and the pus
right, so that pus, what? It disappears, something which will wash away?
It's a hard crust.
It's a crust which washes away.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
that's the case.
That comes off, I guess.
Okay. The Bar Yashulchan, in his footnotes, in the Shpiurim, he says, M'shem d'chazaynish, that it washes away parts of it. I wasn't familiar that's what happens with the pimple.
But I wish you had taught him about pimple.
That's the interpretation. Chatata could be. I hear no. Chatatim generally is used to mean simple. A balas chatatim is a person with boils.
So when it's the white heads before it, when you see the white, but it hasn't burst yet. So what's the status then? You see it's forming the white.
Sounds like it's very hard to say. It sounds like it's okay if everything's under the skin. Then there's no problem.
If it bursts,
that's the way it would make sense. Just to me, the lashon chachmas adam was mashma that you have to scratch it off. Chachmas adam says, and I think I copied down the lashon, that actually you have to soak it. Actually, it's rachech b'afilu kayev lo harbe. You have to soak it until it gets moist, and even if it hurts a lot, what does it mean it hurts a lot? Soaking it hurts. I think it means you soak it and you scratch it off. What? It's not about a pimple.
So he's saying soaking as an eighth of how to scratch it
not
off.
Sure. I don't know. The Bali Shulchan brings, or Misha clearly here, holds that soaking is enough. To me, it was a chiddush, but if you're telling me that's what happens, that the stuff on top is just blood and pus, so then you can understand it.
Well, you don't think it's dry. If it's moist, then it's not going to be able to, by soaking, to change it.
Okay, let's get to stitches. 17 stitches on the surface of the skin of the gums are chatzitza. What? Yeah, I didn't know, because you can read it. I don't think there's a chiddush there. Okay, blood, wet blood is not a chatzitza, and dry blood is. I'm skipping around. I'd like to finish. So I'm trying to do the things that are the main points here. 17 stitches on the surface of the skin of the gums are a chatzitza, when under the surface they are not a chatzitza, as they state. The question is, why don't we say our stitches einam atredes or hainu revise? So it seems the price came them on, and I'm not clear on the gedar advarim, but the lashon of the nitziv is that whatever is chutz lagufa, an injury, and out of the skin injury, that's called makpedes. Even if there's something there, it's never hainu revise, it's never considered natural. And it's something, because it says in Shulchan Aruch, a band-aid is a chatzitza, even though a band-aid you want it on, by I mentioned to you, by Antil Sidaim on a Suda, sometimes a band-aid is not a chatzitza. If it's a wound that hurts to take off the band-aid, like a paper cut, is the best example, where a band-aid, you would never take it off, right, when it's fresh, because it hurts. So it's not a chatzitza for Antil Sidaim. And yet, and outside the body, stitches a wound or a band-aid, these things are considered a chatzitza, okay, according to all the paiskin. Well, what does one do? One has to wait until the stitches can be removed. Same thing with a cast, and then the next thing, a cast is a chatzitza. A cast is generally considered to be a chatzitza, and Lamaisa, you have to push it off.
Stitches in the mouth would also be a chatzitza then.
Stitches, the Lamaisa too is on stitches in the mouth. He says, I'm not familiar with how it works. He says, you look, if you can see it in the mouth, then that's a chatzitza. He says sometimes the stitches are under folds in the gum, which are not visible outside. He says, that's not a chatzitza. If it is visible outside, then he says it is.
That's
a basistarim. Basistarim chatzitza is not visible. No, he means it's not on the outside of the goof. It's in the I don't know if he means kematim. I'm not sure. It's a short shuv. It's true. If you look at the words. In a fold, a kematim, if somebody has stitches under their underarm, it's still chatzitza. So I don't think he means under a fold. I don't know where it could be in the mouth. I'm not a dentist. Some place, but it's not near a luchutz. I don't think he means the fold. Of b'tim ha'gof. Some of that stitches in there.
He's calling that internal
dentist? Internal, yeah. What? So anything outside the goof is called makpedes. Something you want removed. You want to remove it as soon as you can. Yeah. Okay. You're right. That's why I told you beforehand. I understand. The place can assume that an outside thing, something outside the body, is called mastitis anyway. Okay, I can't really explain it better than that. Okay, 19. Our warts and corns are not considered a chatzitza, even if you plan to have them removed. Okay, also a common shiver. Because of the shach, and it's good for us to chazer. 2 weeks ago I mentioned to you the basic yisaidistik machlaik is about fingernails. Why a fingernail has to be trimmed and why it's a chatzitza problem. The shach said, because kol ha'imed likotzei it's kikotzus. Since all the women are makbet to take it off, and it's aimed to be cut off, so therefore a fingernail is a chatzitza. The Taz said, because that really a fingernail is not a chatzitza, it's only because of the dirt underneath. A very basic yisaidistik machlaik is, by the Ashulchan writes, he blies the tzarachian. According to the Shach, kalai mili katsis to katsis, that a fingernail, since you plan to cut it off. It's a chatzitza. Why is it different than a wart? Someone made an appointment to remove a wart. And the wart could be on the tip of a nose, where anybody in the world would take it off. And Shulchan Aruch says meforish, it's not a chatzitza. It's a chelek agruf. Not a chatzitza. So why is the fingernail any less a chelek agruf than a wart? So like the Taz, it's good. And I mentioned to you, the Mishnah Berurah passes like the Taz. That the Shasabchak, a fingernail is not a chatzitza. If somebody has Friday night, did not cut the nails, they have to clean well underneath and they can go to the mikveh, the Mishnah Berurah passes. Not like the Shach. According to the Shach, Friday night you couldn't go to the mikveh. You have to get a guy to remove it. The Taz says that if it's Friday night, you're stuck. And let's say you can't get a guy to remove it, so you just clean well, and then it's not, fingernails, not a chatzitza problem. Or toenails. Toenails, he says, koshkein, are not a chatzitza problem, and you just have to clean well underneath, and then that's good enough, a woman could go to the mikveh. So this is a basic machlekes shach and taz, where we pass him like the taz, even though generally most machlekes in the shach carries more weight than the taz, but here we pass him like the taz, Mishnah Berurah passes that way, and this is a kash on the shach. Why warts that one plans to remove are any different than fingernails? What? Oh, according to Rav Henkin, it's very good. Yeah, I mentioned to you that Rav Palm told me regarding temporary fillings, that he once asked Rav Henkin to shayla lamaisa, somebody with a temporary filling. Rav Henkin said anything you need a uman to remove, a professional to remove, is not a chatzitza. And this could be a source for it, maybe to answer this kasha. That would be very good. A wart, you don't remove yourself. Right? You buy the Dr. Scholl's things a few times, and then when it doesn't work, you go to end up going to the doctor anyway. What? Stitches don't really need an uman. He didn't want to tell you when to take it off, but you, if you take stitches out of your pants, yeah, I think you can take them out of the out of your hands. It hurts a little, yeah. Well, the doctor knows to do it real quick, right? But okay. Okay, jewelry obviously is a chatzitza. All right, it's a big shaila I mentioned to you about women who have a ring that they never remove. They leave on permanently. Obviously, these women are going to the mikveh with the ring on. So the same achana mekilim. Lamaisa, of course, they should try to avoid such a situation. If you don't mind, I'd like to turn to the next page. Oh, I think we've covered all the chatzitza things that come up. Here, some rules for when preparations are done.
If the ring is stuck, you can't get the ring off.
If the ring turns.
But you can't get it off.
The finger happened to swell, that's a problem. Fingers. Well, I'm talking about women. There's some women who have a ring, some women even since they're young, and it's just stuck on. The best thing is really to remove it, but the argument is it's Anna Makpedis. Why? Yeah, but it's something she did to herself. I'm not sure. You know, a cast also needs an uman, but Lamaisa, it's not part of the body. I'm not sure. I think the ring should be removed. The Chacham Sadam says the Diavad is not a chatzitza. If it's a nice ring, he says, if it's not a nice ring, it'll be a problem.
If you have Baal Shiva, come look at the body jewelry,
permanently put on, you mean? Alright, it could be a problem. But the Chacham Sadam says that the Diavad, he writes once on Baila, and she left and she had the ring on him. It's a nice ring, then it's not a chatzitza. If it's not, if it's an ugly ring that most people would remove, you just stuck with it, and then it's a problem. But in most cases, it's not that way. Okay, when should preparation? See, there's a ring of a finger, right? I don't know. I don't know how you break a ring off.
It can be done, no.
It can be done.
Cut it off.
Kind of tricky to cut it off, no?
Yeah. Break the ring.
You find a way. All right, fine. However you do it, it's fine with me. You got to be careful. What? I'm not an expert. There must be ways to get rings off.
Have a replacement ready.
Okay. All right, Tvila, when preparation should be done? Okay, I was very surprised when I did this. I did this, I think, 3 years ago. And there's some points here that there were chidushim to people. And the reason is, really, I think the men leave all the preparation, the timing, everything to the women to take care of. And the women are not taught which things are minhagim, which things are halachas. And I think it leads to some unnecessary tension in the home. So let's try to go basically through the rules. They're not complicated rules. And see what can be done to make things easier. All right, first, tefillah on a weekday night. Okay, we have here Rashi. Rashi says, Rashi advised that they should be done by day. Rashi's shita was that it's better to do the preparations by day, not by night. Why? So that one should not feel rushed. Because I was very concerned about women feeling muhuma lebeit, feeling a rush at the mikveh and not doing the preparations properly. So for that reason, Rashi held that it's better to do preparations start by day. Others argued that they should be done as close to tefillah as possible. It's a practical thing, that if you do it earlier, you can get a new chatzitza. So to satisfy both opinions, the Shulchan Aruch says that it's preferred that preparations begin during the day and they be completed at the time of tefillah. One should start some preparation before shkia. She shouldn't remind herself 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, she has to go to mikveh, and then she'll be rushed. So she should start some preparations beyond, and then the rest of them are done by night. Now, B, where this presents a difficulty, for example, if someone is at work past the time of sunset, now shkia is 4:30, how is she going to start her hachanis for mikveh by day? So at least a minimal type of preparation should be done by day, preferably combing of the hair, but at least the minimal preparation such as clipping toenails. Even a woman who's in an office can go into the bathroom and then clip a few toenails. The idea is not so much that it saves her the 6 seconds at night, but it's that her mindset is that she has to do the preparation. She won't rush at the last minute to do it. Like this is on her mind. So a woman is supposed to, api halacha, api dina de Shulchan Aruch, a woman should begin at least one preparation by day. Now what happens if she didn't see, or even this is difficult, or if one forgot? All preparations may be done at night, but at least an hour should be set aside for preparation so that one should not feel rushed. Okay, normally, there's no zman. Normally, there's no zman. A woman does the preparations, whatever is her leisure, however long it takes her. The total time in the Kala classes is not based on any real source. She does it however she does it. Only place is where a woman, by day, didn't remember to prepare. So she started at night, we're concerned, she's like, hey, muhuma lebeit, so she shouldn't rush. So we tell her she has to spend an hour on the preparation, which is considered the guzma, an extraordinary amount of time, so it leaves up plenty of time. Some women spend a whole hour anyway on it. But this is the shach. Now I wrote in parenthesis, see also the Torah of Ahirah. Torah of Ahirah is this conscious of Rav Meisher. Rav Meisher says a chiddush. It's hard to say it. I'll tell you what he says. He says, when does the shach say you have to spend an hour on preparations because you'll be rushed? That's in a normal case of a woman who goes to the mikvah on her own. Today, the custom is there are mikvah ladies. There's a woman in the mikvah who's supposed to check over the person before they go into the mikvah. So Rav Meisher writes, since there's a mikvah lady going to check her anyway, so the concern that she'll rush and won't do it properly doesn't apply, and a woman does not have to spend this hour. Now, whether this is in fact so, that the mikvah ladies really check properly, I think in the mikvahs around here, the ladies are all concerned they're going to scare away the women from going to the mikvah, and they're really very meek about it. I think they check the fingernails, and that's just about it. Really, a woman in the mikvah, the traditional mikvah lady, checked over for chatzitzas b'chol aguf. In Monroe, I spend the summer in Monroe, so in the Satmar community, they have the women who check, and they really check, they do a b'dikas aguf. They check the body, all over the body, they check the hair. And for chatzitzas. In such a case, Rav Meisher certainly, you can understand what Rav Meisher is saying. But in a community such as ours, where people, the women are terrified of the mikvah ladies, they're like the nicest old grandma type. But they're afraid of them, and it becomes something where the women don't want to offend anybody, and they don't really check over the women. So Rav Meisher's kula would apply in a place where the facts are that way, that the mikvah lady checks.
But the ladies are afraid that should be that.
They're afraid that itself should be. Okay, I don't know. Is that going to make them comb their hair better? I don't know.
They don't want to be.
But they're not. They know that nobody checks their hair. They do. It's good. Okay. All right, now here D is what I told you is a chiddush to many, many people. When necessary, all preparations may be done by day. However, another examination of chatzitza should be done prior to tefillah. In any event, where preparations are done at home, a repeat combing of hair should be done at the mikveh. This was a chiddush to many people, that when it's difficult, and very often it's difficult, if we have a busy household, and it's difficult at night for women to do the preparations. There's no question that a woman, the bath, that women take, the custom, we have a minig, women are taught to take a bath for half an hour. In the mikvahs, there's a sign, in many mikvahs, women should bathe for 30 minutes. You won't find this in any sefer, that there's a din. It's not a halacha, a woman has to bathe for 30 minutes. A pi halacha, and I don't know, it should be mefarshim, it shouldn't be mefarshim, this. A pi halacha, a woman doesn't have to take a bath, she can take a shower. It's a minig yisrael, it's a good minig, I'm not taking away from it to take the half an hour bath. The point I want to make is not to take the bath. The point is that where a woman is busy at night at home, go sit in the bath for 30 minutes, she has older children at home, it's not so simple. There's no shaila al pi din that a woman could do it by day. Even if she works, she could do it in the morning. She could do it in the morning. If it's impossible in the morning, even the night before. It's not the minig of the half an hour bath. It's a good minig, and we should keep with it. We shouldn't push it off easily. But where it's very difficult to do it earlier and to cut the nails earlier, certainly the nails don't change over the day. All these preparations could be done earlier. The combing could be done earlier. And then at the mikveh, a person should take a shower again right before tefillah. And then should check over. I'm not saying should comb, especially the hairs which get tangled, should be combed out again. But the intense preparation, the half hour bath, does not have to be done, the Makom Tzairich does not have to be done right before tefillah. Okay, now this is all the more important when tefillah is on Shabbos night. Okay, the next case. Now, with tefillah on Shabbos, again, a Friday afternoon for women to take in, I don't know in your home, but in many homes, in my home, it's a busy house Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. A woman does not have to take the half an hour bath on Friday afternoon. They can take it earlier. And and right before they go to mikvah, they take another shower and they wash themselves off. It's a mistake. It's a mistake, which is like a chumrah maybe li dekula. Women pressure themselves, and then at the end they rush, and then it's a hard pressure. Some women think the 30 minutes is like set in stone. That if they come out 27 minutes, they have to go back. Again, it's not. You have to know. If it will be a din of the Shulchan Aruch, it will be set in stone. But it's not. It happens to be. It's a minig of the mikvah. Someone told me that there's already one mikveh that has assigned 35 minutes. That's from a mikveh, one of the Sidon Bar Apak. So I don't know where it comes from. It's very important. Women should not feel rushed. It's true. But, you know, when there's a big line in the mikveh, it's hard not to feel rushed. The woman goes into things. So it's a good thing that they give you time. But you need to know, l'maisa v'shas hachak, that's not necessary. Okay, A, or for Shabbos. All preparations must be completed on Friday, as close to Shabbos as possible, without causing one to feel rushed. Preferable that these preparations be done at home so that one can light candles prior to going to the mikveh. There's no reason not to light Shabbos candles here, where you don't have to take a car, you can walk over to a mikveh. There's no reason not to. For someone who lives far away from the mikveh, can a woman light Shabbos candles and then get a car ride to the mikveh? So, Lamaisa in Mishnah Brura says that b'shas hachak, a woman could light candles and make a tanai that she's going to do malach. It's really something to use only really b'shas hachak, because it comes from earlier sources, the Gaonim who held that candle lighting is automatic Kabbalah Shabbos. So a person should be very reluctant to rely on a kula to light with a tanai. However, where the woman is not driving, she's only a passenger in the car, whether she takes a car service or a man who didn't light yet is going to drive her, it's much more kuladik. Because really, what's the issue of being a passenger in a car or in a bus? You know, Shabbos is not pashut that it's also to be a passenger in a car. It's mishtamesh b'muktzah, it's a klishim achter with, so you're allowed to use it. What? So if you go on an elevator, automatic elevator, so your weight might be causing it, or an escalator, it's causing it to use more energy. When you go in a car, your weight doesn't cause anything. The driver has to give more gas to get where he's going. But the passenger is not doing the malacha. In an automatic machine like an escalator, you get on it, so the weight causes more energy to be used.
I guess the Shabbat Ben Shishol, but how about Yom Tov Sheni going on a bus, the Israeli will pay for me.
Yeah.
The Mishtamish
Mosque. I guess it's an excuse. Ramesh has a tshuva. It's in Chesha Mishpat, it's in the end of a different tshuva. Someone asked him, if you don't have to pay, you can get away not to pay, are you allowed to go on the train? What's this? Is it go on the train on Shabbos? Okay, well, let's say somebody's right before Shabbos, he's rushing home. On the train. What's the issue? Ramesha doesn't really find a chloris. Ramesha writes, there's a Gemara in Beya about women, about they used to carry people on these, right, with four poles, right, like they carry the Aron. So they had these seats and they used to carry people around that way. Mm-hmm. There's a Gemara in Beya that says that on Shabbos you can't carry anyway, but on Yantif, it's not Yantif thick. It's not covered Yantif. It's not a Yantif thick thing. Ramesha says going in the train is not Shabbos thick. That's pretty much all he says. What about Marisayan, that it looks like you paid to get on? All right, that could be a problem. But I would tell somebody, you see, we don't really make our own gezeiros of Marisayan. We avoid Marisayan. If somebody is on the way home from work, Erev Shabbos, and he's already on the train, there's no question he should stay on the train. You don't have to get off the next stop. I mean, you hear people tell you they got stuck on the train Shabbos, they got off the stop, and they're stuck in a bad neighborhood, or even a good neighborhood. If you're already on the train, it's a carrying problem, aren't you going to do it with your wallet? But if somebody sees ahead of time that they might be stuck on the train, they leave their wallet in the office, take along a token, put in the token, they get on the train before Shabbos. You're sitting on the train when Shabbos starts. I don't think you have to get off.
Like Marisayan or something?
We don't make our own desires of Marisayan. We try to avoid it. But to say a person should be away from his family a whole Shabbos because we're afraid of this. It's hard to say. I mean, how's he going to pay me? Someone else will pay for him.
He put in the token.
He's on the platform. I'll tell you, Lemaisa, I'll tell you why it could be Makel. I'll tell you why it could be Makel. It's something that, for those of you who are here every year in June, who are here Shabbos, I announce every year in June that for people who are going to be stuck in the highways, it happens. So there's an important halacha to know, and that is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which says that Bein HaShemashis, Malacha D'Rabbanan is Mutter, Letzarech Einik Shabbos, Letzarech Mitzvah. Malacha D'Rabbanan, Raya Degai, is Mutter Bein HaShemashis. Now really, Bein HaShemashis is only 13 minutes. But Rav Moshe says, Gevaldig Chiddush, he says, you have to remember, when is nightfall? Sunset, let's say now it's 4:30. Okay, today's sunset is 4:30. According to the Gra, 4:30 starts Bein HaShemashis, next 13 minutes is Bein HaShemashis. According to Rabbeinu Tam Shita, so nightfall is later. Okay, either 72 minutes or 60 minutes. Let's say Rav Moshe is 50 minutes, according to him. So tonight, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, nightfall is 5:20, not 4:30. And Bein HaShemashis is the last 13 minutes before 5:20. Rav Moshe writes that for those minutes between 4:30 and 5:20 is nightfall, according to Rabbeinu Tam. 13 minutes earlier, we'll call it 5:07, is the beginning of Bein HaShemashis by Rabbeinu Tam. Rav Moshe says from 4:30 to 5:07 to us has a din of Bein HaShemashis. Because what's the difference if it's Bein HaShemashis is a suffix, we don't know the mitzias of its night, or we have a suffix in halacha, we don't know if halacha is like the grod, halacha is Rabbeinu Tam. That's also a suffix in din. So Rav Moshe says that for those minutes from 4:30 to those 37 minutes, Rav Moshe calls it 40 minutes, after sunset, you're allowed to do malacha yedei guy. You're even allowed to tell a guy to drive your car for you, to get you somewhere. You're allowed to hire a guy and pay him to drive you somewhere for those 40 minutes. For the Tzarech Mitzvah, the Tzarech Einik Shabbos. Somebody won't be with his family, it's certainly Tzarech Einik Shabbos. Wait, so let me just finish this idea up. So it's an important thing. Now, I have every year people who will tell me afterwards, you know, they remember I talked about it. When it happened, they couldn't remember what I said. And, you know, you can't call a Rav when Shabbos is starting, even if you have a car phone. So, but you have to remember for the next time. It means is you have 40 minutes after sunset, roughly an hour after Hadlaka Seiris, where you can't drive, that's Malacha D'Oraisa, but if you can get a guy to drive you,
why not 50
then that's Mutter. Because the last, Ramesh says, the last Bein HaShemashis of the Rabbeinu Tam is already a Spek Seika. According to the Grod Tzvadei Laila, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's Suffolk Laila. So the last 13 minutes of that, or at least the last 10 minutes, Ramesh says not to be Mekel.
Yeah, before that, it's also
Suffolk. It's only Chada Seika. It's one Suffolk, which is Bein HaShemashis, there are no Drabbanas.
So when is the
earliest Bein HaShemashis
start
to come to Bein HaTam? According to Rabbeinu Tam, Bein HaShemashis says 50 minutes.
5:00.
It starts. Rabbeinu says Vadei Laila 50 minutes according to Rabbeinu Tam, mm-hmm. And either 10 or 13 minutes before that is Bein HaShemashis. Okay.
So if you're on a bus, you don't have to get off.
If you're on a platform, you can get on a train. So getting on a train is not Malacha D'Oraisa. Well, definitely not.
If you're a passenger, you can stay on even half the hour.
There are two issues. One issue is where you're going to do a malacha, where it is a malacha problem. Let's say going on a train is a malacha drabanan. Still, for these 40 minutes it's mutter, you can even get a guy to drive your car home for you. Now, after the 40 minutes, so then you have to come on to what I'm telling you is a chiddush, that being on the train, when you have a person driving it, it's not an automated train, being on the train is not even a malacha drabanan. And then you could save it for 2 hours. Right, even a car is different, because if it's your car, see, if you're on a bus, the bus driver is not driving for you. He's driving for himself. You're in a car service, also it's a problem. He's driving for you. That's a malacha d'rabbanan. But when you're on the train, it's going to go anyway. You're on the bus, it's going to go anyway. So then that's not a malacha d'rabbanan. The guy's not doing malacha for you. He's going to do the same malacha whether you get on the train, you don't get on the train. You get on the bus, you don't get on the bus. You know, you couldn't tell him to stop at a certain stop for you on the bus. You'd have to wait for him to be stopping anyway. Okay? But, yeah.
You can't take saws at d'rabbanan for
that? I saw. You could do it, so as a drabbani, you have to try to avoid it, but...
Why is that on the Shabbos, though? Why is there on the Shabbos?
Is it only on the Shabbos, or is it a Hefzid?
Is the Malkin Hefzid? I don't recall. It says the Tzarech Mitzvah. I don't remember that it says the Tzarech Mitzvah, but... carrying could easily be into the drabbani.
So he holds both sheets there?
Yeah. Train doesn't work harder. The train driver works harder. He... No, he controls the throttle, he controls the speed. Sure, he controls the speed. All these guys, every time there's an accident, they say the guy was driving too fast. What does that mean? That's fine, but he can, as long as he controls it, it's okay. He's doing it to get there. Since you're on it, he has to use more energy to get there. Now, there's some people who say that, when you get on a train, it doesn't use more energy. It's such a small amount, it doesn't. Anybody who took even high school science knows it's not so. You can't, without energy, you can't move things. Every bit of movement requires energy.
This case, because she likes early. I mean, it's better to have your husband or you to try, because the mere lachem, if it's not shabbat.
To do what? To drive?
Yeah,
I'm saying, if a woman likes early bitznai, okay, we got sidetracked. When a woman likes early bitznai, that's what I was talking about, so I don't recommend that people should light with a tanai and drive. But to light with a tanai and be a passenger, so that's not a problem.
It's better to have a Jewish driver than a guy, because there's no amira.
No, there's no difference between a Jewish driver and a guy. It says in Mishnah Berurah, and this is really not a Mishnah Berurah, that just since you're allowed, let's say you're Mekabel Shabbos early,
you can ask
a Jew to do Malacha, Taka Chazal Aser telling a guy. If you're allowed to tell a Jew, when you're Mekabel Shabbos early, you can tell a Jew wasn't Mekabel Shabbos, Taka Nyasa telling a guy.
That would be a reason, by the way, to always keep Rabbi Natan's mind, because it's more consistent.
With what?
If you want to use that extra time.
What you're saying is, it's like someone says, I'd like to use Rabbeinu Tam's mind, so I like to daven mincha light. It's such a very... you know what it is? For a ger, it's true. A ger has all minhagim open to him. And he can pick any minhag he wants. A ger has it easy, you know? Gebrach, the ger, what's he going to take a brach for, right? But you have to stick with your minhag.
With a train, there could be a
tchum
problem.
With a train in Manhattan, there's no tchum problem. Okay, it's an interesting thing we should talk about once. Manhattan to Brooklyn is not a tchum problem. You have a Gemara, which no one thinks is Negei Lamaisa, and there's with three cities, if you remember from Erevin, you have three cities shaped like a triangle, and you're allowed to move one down and fit it in. Brooklyn to Manhattan, being that Roosevelt Island is in the middle, is never a problem of tchum. So, there's no tchum problem. It could be, in other cities, it could be a tchum problem. You go to Jersey, it could be a problem.
Right. So, now, based upon what you're saying, if you can get on a simple step to the tchum problem, you can get on a plane.
It's really not Shabbos thing, but I don't know.
Not
if you bite Laishat in the Gemara. Okay. What? Is there any difference between being on a plane and being on a train? Is there any difference between being on a plane and being on a train? I hear it. Except for the tchum problem. There's a tchum problem. There is a tchum problem.
You're on land. You're above.
You're on land. You're okay.
What happens if you have a connecting flight and you're stuck in the airport in the second city? Should you get on the plane? It's going to be if it's irrelevant, because you can have a tchum problem. You can land at Kennedy Airport and you're going to have to sit in the terminal. So you might as well sit in the terminal in Atlanta and not. No, it's a funny thing. Mishum Kavod Abrius, they were Matthew walking out of tchum. Gives an eitzah. If you're stuck, you get off the plane, you can't walk. So it says if you have to go to the bathroom, you're not obligated to urinate where you're standing. So Mishum Kavod Abrius, they were Matthew. It says to walk, even if you have a close bathroom this way, it's only 10 steps, and that way, it's far, so it says you're allowed to walk in that direction. It's, you know, I pass the basic key say, but you walk in a direction where there's no bathroom, I don't know if you can make it all the way home, but you just say, no, this is an answer. Yeah.
Is there a minimum time you have to allow when
you're
traveling?
Is there a minimum time? I'll tell you, I once went to Switzerland for a Thursday night wedding, and Friday I went without my family. And Friday, I was nervous to fly back. So I got on the airplane, and I sat with Shmuel Kamenetsky, who was going. It was a relative of mine who lived in Philadelphia. So on the plane, he tells me how he's coming back tomorrow, on Friday. I said, aren't you nervous to fly back Friday? He says, no problem. I land in New York at 2, and I catch a flight to Philly at 2:30. And I get to Philly, it'll be still an hour and a half before Shabbat. So I thought, wow, I'm afraid to land in New York at 2, and he's landing in Philly at 5. So, you know, if a person flies often, is more brave. But the truth is, once you get on the plane, it's rare to be stuck. And there are cases where people sit on the thing, but it's rare. Once the plane takes off, usually it's not like a train where you get delayed on the way. You know, here, once the plane takes off, it's got to keep on moving. So. What? Here's our locker to be to be careful Erev Shabbos, but it's not a strict restriction. Okay, I would like. Lamaisa says the Efshalachria. Okay, Lamaisa, the rest of the halacha preparation, I you should go through. The main point I wanted to make is this point, which leads to a lot of tension in homes. The Friday afternoon bath for half an hour, unless you're a young married couple is different. Where you have all the children in the house, it's really, people have to know that you can do it certainly that morning, Shasat Chak, even the night before, really you should try to do it that day. That morning, let the woman get up earlier, do the combing of the hair, do everything, and then take a shower right before Shabbos, and be careful to check. It's not necessary for it to become hectic. It's hectic enough, Erev Shabbos, on every Erev Shabbos. Okay, next week, I would like to move on to new topics. I want to do Harchakis. Rather than doing the Harchakis inside, which is time-consuming, the truth is, it's machkim really to do it inside, but next week, believe me, I'll try to give a one-week shiur on the Harchakis to go through the basic Harchakis.